appreciate the opportunity to share with you again this morning. My concern today is for us to consider the true nature of discipleship. Discipleship is a major, or the term disciple is a major term used to describe the followers of Christ in the Gospels, in the epistles to the churches, and predominantly in the book of Acts. Over 300 times in the New Testament alone, we find the term disciple referring to the followers of Christ. Are you a true, genuine disciple of Jesus Christ? The Greek word translated disciple is the word mathatos. It has in its meaning three very important connotations. When I ask you if you are an apostle, you need to understand, or a disciple, you need to understand what is involved in being a disciple. Because it may not be your concept. A disciple is carefully described in the Word of God. And we need to know what God's Word has to say about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. The word in the Greek that is translated disciple has, first of all, it means a devoted pupil. A disciple is a devoted pupil. He is a person who diligently pursues the instructional training of another. Diligently. Purposefully, with full intent, pursues the instructional training of another. He is a pupil. Are you a disciple? Another part of this word that we need to understand, it implies that this pupil is a committed learner. He is a committed learner. That means that he is eager to subject himself to all that he can possibly receive and hear. He is a committed learner. I fear that many who call themselves Christians are not disciples, for they find their attendance once every 2 months. That, my friend, is not a committed learner. A committed learner is not one who attends teaching and instructions on occasion. More truthfully, a committed learner is one who will be present as much as is possible. Or like we used to say, every time the doors are open. Amen. A committed learner. One who is eager to learn the truths and values held by another. Committed to learn the truths and values that are held by another. He is a devoted pupil, a committed learner, and a faithful adherent. A faithful adherent. One who is fully committed to applying and practicing what they are being taught. A faithful adherent. One who faithfully adheres to the teachings that are being given to them. Fully applying and practicing what they are being taught. A disciple is one, four things I want to suggest to you very quickly in way of introduction. A disciple, according to the Word of God, is one who believes and fully embraces all the teachings of Jesus Christ. A disciple of Christ is one who fully embraces all the teachings of Jesus Christ. And I emphasize the word all. A disciple is not selective in what he receives. He does not decide, I will apply that, but I won't apply that. That is not a disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciple of Jesus Christ hears, receives all the instructions of Jesus Christ. He believes and fully embraces his teachings. A disciple is one who rests completely upon the works and accomplishments of Christ. He dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly leans on Jesus' name. A disciple is one who rests upon the perfect, finished, complete works and accomplishments of Jesus Christ. A disciple of Christ is one who imbibes his spirit, and I use that word purposefully. Imbibes, you know that word. It's a word that used to be used regarding intoxication. Imbibing, the partaking of, the drinking of. A disciple of Christ is one who imbibes his spirit. He drinks of the Spirit of Christ. He partakes of the Spirit of Christ. He is intoxicated with the Spirit of Christ. That's why I use the word imbibes. A disciple of Christ is one who is literally absorbed by the Spirit of Christ. I believe it should be the case with you and I that when people are around us and spend time with us, that as they leave our presence, they should have a touch of the Spirit of Christ in their lives because they've been with us. It is a sad, sad testimony that you can be around many who claim to be Christians, and for hours they will not speak of anything worthwhile. There is nothing of value that comes from their hearts or lives. And when you leave their presence, you have no thought whatsoever of God or His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. If we are disciples of Christ, we will be intoxicated with the Spirit of Christ. And the fourth thing, a true disciple of Jesus Christ is one who imitates His example. There is a book that is a classic in Christianity titled The Imitation of Christ. You need to get it, and you need to read it. You need to get serious about your Christianity. You need to become a disciple, a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, in light of these things, these concepts, I want to ask you again a very, very important question. Scriptures teach us that we are to examine ourselves. And I ask you to do that today. Purposefully, deliberately, willfully and fully consciously. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you if you claim to be a Christian. I'm asking you, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you if you are a church attender or a church member. I'm asking you, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? For there is a vast difference. I'm not asking if you are a religious person in any way, shape, or form, or have religious convictions. I'm asking you, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not asking you, do you have some denominational preference? I could care less. But are you a genuine, true disciple of Jesus Christ? Five cornerstones of discipleship I want us to consider this morning. Five cornerstones of discipleship I want us to consider. I want us to use these to set our own hearts, to examine ourselves, to get down to the real business of the kingdom of God. The text that Pastor read to us at the start of the service, Matthew 28:19-20, actually starts with these words. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's the job of the church. Discipleship. And I'm afraid the church has missed the boat. And I'm talking in general. The pastor, the deacons, the elders, and others in leadership of the church for the last couple of months have been discussing this very thing. The importance of discipleship. But how in the world will we make disciples if we don't even know what it takes to make one? So I think we better get back to the Bible and find out what is involved in discipleship. Amen. And if we are going to have a program of discipleship, it better be based on the Word of God. So what are these five cornerstones of discipleship? They're pretty simple, but I think profound. Number one, the first cornerstone of discipleship is believing on Christ and confessing Him openly before men. The first cornerstone of discipleship, it begins right there. Believing on Christ and confessing Him openly before men. I would ask you to consider three scriptures very quickly. Romans 10:9, which Paul read to us. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God hath, what? Raised him from, thou shalt be saved. Confession. That's what we need to understand. What does it mean to confess Christ? It's not just verbally saying it. Confession is the full acknowledgement of who he is and the resulting submission to his authority. Did you hear what I said? Sit up and pay attention. This matter of discipleship is very important. And you need to decide. Are you a disciple or not? And the day that our churches begin to teach and preach again correctly, our churches will become full. We won't have part-time Christians. We will have committed disciples. Confession is the full acknowledgement of who Christ is and the resulting submission to his authority. If you will confess with your mouth that he is who? Lord. Right? So, Philippians 2. 10 and 11. This is the will of God. Are you there? What is the will of God? That every knee should what? At what? There's two names are given here. That at the name of Jesus. Is that right? Every knee should bow. At the name of Jesus. And then that every tongue should confess that he is Lord. There are two titles given to him in this text. Amen. First of all, Jesus. Jesus is the name of his humanity. Mary was told that his name shall be called what? Jesus. This one born to you. The name Jesus refers to his humanity. That he is God in the flesh. For the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. To confess Jesus is to acknowledge that he is God in the flesh. But we are to bend our knee and confess that he is what? Lord. It is unfortunate that in our Bibles we do not have a I guess I would say correct translation. They have translated a word there. That word Lord there is Yahweh. Lord is Yahweh. So, what do we have? We confess that he has come in the flesh and that he is God. Not just Lord, he is Yahweh. Now, if you want a verse that will knock certain cults off of their perches, it's that one. Two names. Jesus and Yahweh. It's very important. This matter of confessing also as a very important dimension in Matthew 10:32. What are we saying? A disciple is one who believes and confesses Christ openly. Amen. What does it say in Matthew 10:32? It says this, if you will confess me before men, is that what it says? Then I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. Now keep in mind, confession is the full acknowledgement of who he is and the resulting submission to his authority. There is no such thing as a secret disciple of Jesus Christ. There is not. You must acknowledge openly your faith and trust. You must become fully identified with him in every way. The early Christians did that through that great demonstration of baptism. It was a public, open declaration whereby they expressed to family and everybody that knew them that they were a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower, a learner, and an adherent to him from that day on. It was an open declaration that I want the whole world to know that from this day forward, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of him, an adherent of him, a pupil of him. And they wanted that to be known publicly, and many, many suffered greatly for it. The second step in this matter of discipleship, we will find in Luke 14:27. The second step in discipleship is the matter. Disciples are people who are submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Disciples are those who are committed to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Luke 14:27 says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, what? What does it say? Cannot be my disciple. It's impossible. There is no half-hearted following of Jesus Christ. We deceive ourselves by thinking there is. We deceive ourselves in thinking that we can follow him when we want to and not follow him. That is pure baloney. True. What is this that he is asking when he says, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Well, what was the cross of Christ? The cross of Christ was the will of God for his life. Say it again. The cross of Christ was God's will for his life. Amen. He is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the earth. And his declaration was come, I have not come to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And that will involved the cross. So the cross that he carried or the cross that he bore was the will of his Father, and that is your cross also. The one thing that you must walk in and know and pursue and live in as a disciple is the will of God. In everything. Yeah. Your will needs to be subdued. Study the life of Christ, and I don't know how many times in different ways he said it. One of the ways he expressed it was in a parable when he said, except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and dies, it abides alone. He was speaking of himself, but he's also speaking about you and I. Except you and I come to the place to where we die to our own will and begin to live under the supreme will of God, we are not disciples. Are you a disciple? I ask you very quickly, at what point in time in your life did you purposely, deliberately, with full consciousness and awareness, intent, get before God and say, Father, from this day forward, not my will, thine be done. When did you do that? If not, I say to you, brother and sister, get her done. Amen? Get her done. And the sooner the better. For one of the great things that you've got to decide in your life as a disciple is who's going to be the boss? Who's going to have the final word? Who is it that ultimately gets to decide in all of the decisions and issues that we face? That's what's involved in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Giving Him the right of final decision in all matters. A disciple is one who confesses Him, believes on Him, and confesses Him openly before men. A disciple is one who is fully committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. A disciple is one who is committed to obeying God's Word. Word of God. All of it. To disobey in one is to disobey in all. Make no mistake about it. Look at John 8:31. John 8:31. Are you there? I hope your Bible reads like mine. It says, if you continue in my word, is that right? Then are ye what? My disciples indeed. What's the issue? The word of God. I would add to that, John 13:35. I would add to that John 15:8, which speaks the same thing. But I would like for us to look at Luke 6. Luke 6, verses 46 through 49. It's So, those that have their Bibles, please turn there to the Gospel of Luke. And in Luke 6, begin reading at the 46th verse. We find Jesus saying these things. You there? He asked a very important question, right? Why call ye me Lord, Lord? And what? Do not the things which I say. That's a very, very, very penetrating question for us. A disciple cannot simply say, Lord, Lord. He must, what? Do the things which I say. And I don't care. I realize that some of these things can be somewhat offensive this morning. But your relationship with Jesus Christ is more important than anything else. So are you a disciple? A disciple is one who is committed to obeying the Word of God. Let's continue to read. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and what? Oh, I'm afraid we have churches full of people who come and hear but don't do. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which has built a house and digged a deep, deep foundation, laid a foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Who are those? They're disciples. Why are they disciples? Because they hear and do His Word. But he that heareth, notice it, and what? Doesn't do it. Is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Notice, both of these cases they hear the word. Yeah. Notice, both of them come to him. He that comes to me and hears my words. There's only one difference between these two situations. What is it? You tell me. What does the word say? He that hears and does the word. So a disciple is one who is committed to obeying the word of God. That was the third. This is the fourth. A disciple is a person who is committed to loving other disciples. Yeah. A disciple is a person who is committed to loving other disciples. And I'm talking about real, biblical, deep, genuine, agape love. That is absolutely necessary. And I would remind you of John 13:35. Turn there. I'm talking about these five basics of Christian discipleship. We could elaborate much more upon them, but I think if you are listening, you are hearing. So in John 13:35, what is it that Jesus say? By this shall all men know that you are what? My disciples. By this, by what? If you have love one to another. That is the mark of genuine discipleship. And that love is extremely sacrificial in its nature. For we are told in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, and it endures all things, and love never fails. We're talking about that in relationship to each other. Amen? The mark of discipleship. Do you have it? Are you ready to lay down your life for your fellow disciple? I rather doubt it when some of us can't even find time to pray for them. If you can't find time to pray for somebody, don't tell me that you love them. It's impossible. We must hasten on. The final mark of a disciple we find in John 15:8. John 15:8. This is a great text. Text on abiding in Christ. And Jesus says this: herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Right? So a disciple does something. What does it do? A disciple bears much fruit. Not a little. Not once in a while. Not on occasion. Much fruit. And if we bear much fruit, we are his what? Disciples indeed. Most assuredly, without question, it cannot be misunderstood. If we are bearing fruit, much fruit, we have the mark of discipleship. Now I ask you, how much fruit you got? In the scriptures, I find three kinds of fruit. Talk about them very briefly and we wind this up. I hope I'm challenging your heart on this matter of being a true disciple. I could care less if you're a church member. Because there are millions of church members that are not disciples. My heart desires that every single one of you be a genuine, sincere, true disciple of Jesus Christ. Three kinds of fruit we find. First, we find the fruit of character, which is in Galatians 5:22-23. All the fruit of the Spirit. But it's fruit of character. Do you have the character of Christ in your heart, in your life? You know what those are? Meekness, gentleness, all of those wonderful expressions of the Spirit of God. And notice it's not plural fruits, it's one fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. If the Spirit is elevating Christ in your life, the character of Christ is going to become produced in you. And the more you listen to Him, hear Him, follow His word and instruction, and submit to His authority, the more fruit will be produced in your life, this fruit of character. Something is wrong with somebody who claims to be a Christian, who still talks with the same ugly tongue they always had and still has the same ugly attitudes that they've always had. Something is desperately wrong. There is fruit of character that must be produced. And yes, that is a genuine fruit. And is it seen in your life? Is it flowing from your life? So the fruit of character is in the Scriptures. There's the fruit of conversation, or the fruit of our lips, from Hebrews 13:15. You can look it up later. You're running out of time. I'm not, but you are. The fruit of our lips. Do we speak the right things? Do we speak the right things at the right time? Do we speak the things in the right spirit? Do we speak the things that are in agreement with God and His Word? Or do we speak the things of our own philosophical foundations? I appreciate what has happened in our women's Bible study. And I've heard it from several women. But I appreciate the fact that my wife has led in this direction as she teaches the women's Bible study. And there are situations and circumstances that come up that need to be shared, need to be talked about, and need to be discussed. And one of the things that these women have decided that the counsel they want is the counsel of God's Word. Yeah. Just the counsel of God's Word. So sometimes when they start to deal with a problem or a situation, somebody says, well, I think, I don't care what you think. What does God's Word say? Right? Right. I could care less what you did or what you didn't do. I know you don't. You are very gracious. And I stand corrected. The fruit of our conversation. What was it that changed so dramatically in the life of Isaiah in the 6th chapter, when he's already for a few years been practicing the office of a prophet and he has a renewed vision of God? And he sees God in His exaltedness and His glory. He cries out and says, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King. What's the fruit of your lips? Do you speak blessing? Blessing to others? Blessing to your husbands, your wives, your children? There's the fruit of character. There's the fruit of our lips. And there's the fruit of our life. Conversions. Proverbs 11:30. He that winneth souls is wise. Amen. When you get to heaven finally, and by God's grace, as Pastor so beautifully presented to us a couple of weeks ago, that we will cry at those gates to be open. Amen. Thank God that one has gone before us to open those gates. Amen. And I pray that your trust and confidence is solidly in Him, and that you'll walk through those gates because of Christ. But when you get inside, will there be anyone that comes and says, thank you for telling me about Christ? Thank you for showing me the way. Thank you for taking the time to truthfully represent Christ to me. Will there be one there? Anyone? Oh, I pray that there is. For I can think of no greater joy that will come to our hearts in that moment in time. Fred, there's a song, I don't remember exactly who sang it, but it captured my heart many years ago. It's titled, Thank You for Giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Oh, when we get there, folks, that there would be multitudes who come and say, thank you. We have a song we used to sing in the church. I haven't heard it in years now, and maybe we need to recapture it. It was a song I learned probably when I was 7, 8 years old. It touched my heart then, and it still does today. It says this, lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine, family, are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who say, melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today. Where is that passion in the church today? The fruit that sees the conversion of others. Proverbs 11:30. So I ask you in conclusion again, are you a true, genuine disciple of Jesus Christ? If you're not, you can be. You can be one right now. This very day, you have the ability and the opportunity to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't know. I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. Just start following. You're going to be surprised when you do. You say, well, I don't know. I don't even know if I truly believe all of it. I don't care. Take His word. Start reading. Start following. And it won't be long till you'll be believing. Charles Wesley, early in his life, heard a man preach that was under the anointing of God, preaching about you must be born again. And this was after he had been preaching himself for 4 years. And he heard this man preach, and afterwards the Spirit of God was convicting me. He went to him and he said, I've got to talk to you. I don't know. I don't know if I'm a child of God or not. And the old man had a lot of wisdom, said to him, well, I've heard you preach. And just keep preaching what you're preaching, and pretty soon you'll be a child of God. Yeah. I've seen it. What did Jesus say? He said, if you can't believe in me, believe on my words. Didn't he? So just start there. Just start following the Word of God, and pretty soon, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be a red-hot, intoxicated disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. That decision can be made today. It all begins by fully acknowledging who He is and willfully submitting yourself to His authority. Lord of your life. Lord over all. Lord of your past. Lord of your present. And Lord of your future. It's a matter. Most important decision and choice. Consider it well. Pastor, you want to come and close this in closing prayer this morning? Thank you for allowing me to share my heart this morning.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much, Father. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for blessing us today. And thank you for faithfully speaking your word in power through Pastor Bob right now. And Heavenly Father, for those that are on the edge of their seat right now, and they know that the Spirit's calling them, we just pray that your Spirit would not leave them alone, but would just go with them and just bring to mind what was spoken today. And bring them to your word, and that they would become red-hot, passionate disciples. Today. And so we love you, Lord God, and worship you. Thank you so much for your faithfulness, Father. And pray your blessing on this meeting that we're about to have. Father, we need to know your will. And I know that you'll show us. You will let us know. You said to ask and that we would receive. So we just ask to know your will, Father. We want your will. And so for the school, for Anza Valley Christian School, we want your will. So just pray that you would help us, show us your will. And please go with us now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.